Thank you. I'm hoping this cord is long enough to reach. That way, for those that may be a little bit shy to come up in front of everybody, you can just stay right where you are, and the mic will come to you, and then you'll be able to give your testimony. But this testimony period is a very important period in a camp meeting or a fellowship gathering, because it gives a chance for you to share what the Lord has done to you. And like for myself or Brother Jim or Brother Gary or Brother Jeffrey, we're giving you what the Lord has revealed to us. And so you have been edified, and now comes the time for us to be edified. So as the Lord has worked in your life and has brought joy and gratefulness to your heart, this is the time for you to express it. And by expressing it, we become, all of us here, become enlightened and edified by the Lord working in your life, which is an edifying influence to us all. Yes? No? Well, we're on the Internet, and so the people on the Internet also.
Certainly, this has been a very good meeting where we can meet together. And I pray that the prayer of Jesus in John 17 will be fulfilled, that our hearts and minds will be united. And also I want to share, I have been reading for the third time, but this third time has been more enlightening, the testimony of ministry. As I was reading the historical background, in 1888, the people were so touched with the message of righteousness by faith, and they were all for following. But unfortunately, the leaders did not accept it. And therefore, here we are, 117 years since the message was given. I want this group to preach the righteousness by faith, and that each one of us wants to develop a character like Jesus. And you know the Ten Commandments the Lord has given at Mount Sinai. And later on, the Lord has given the Word of God to exemplify or magnify the Ten Commandments. And here, the Lord has given us a more definite book, the testimony of Jesus, and it magnifies the Bible. The Bible, you know, people have different interpretation, but you cannot dispute the testimony of Jesus. And I have been reading for 20 years, and the more I read, the more obsessed I am with it. And I hope this group we start reading the testimony of Jesus. I have read these outrages for 20 times, and I am learning, you know, each time I read it, I learn. I have read the nine volumes I have read 10 times, over and over again. And so I, you know, this group, a separated group, would be very special and start reading the testimony of Jesus. Thank you so much for coming, and I surely receive a great blessing.
I want to personally thank Alice, who just spoke, for doing all the legwork of putting this meeting together. She found the place. She did so much work for the meal and the communion service, and I just want to thank her very much for helping us in this way.
I want to thank each of you. I I'd come to Calusa twice, and if somebody would have told me a couple of years ago that I would be reunited with my family, I wouldn't have believed them. And today, because of Brother Rivera inviting them, they came. And I'm so thankful for this message. My mother, to her death, didn't understand separation. But I'm very thankful and enjoying the fellowship and the community. I love the website. Some of you may be blessed with having several people around you to worship with. There's no one near us. And so we really rely on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the website, for those here in the room that may not know about it, is Brother Nicholas's website. It's www.remnantofgod.org. And every Sabbath, he has his church in his home, and he broadcasts it over the web. So if for some reason you're not able to fellowship with others of like faith in your home and you have access to the Internet, please make that your home church for that Sabbath. They'd be more than happy to have you join with them. And then after the church service, there are some that stay after and have a little fellowship, a little discussion, question and answer. So it just makes the Sabbath that much more enjoyable. Any other testimonies? Brother Jonathan?
A few things I would like to share. The Lord has been so good to me, my family. There's two experiences that I have experienced in my job that the Lord has been, I can see that the Lord has been really guiding my work. There was one day that I was picking up a load in Willows, driving the semi-truck. I was there early. I picked up the load around maybe 7:30. Me and my brother. And I was ahead of my brother, so 7:30 I was done, and my brother was not ready. So I left the warehouse. You know, Willows, 162. Walmart is just right there. And then my wife called me. She said that I'm coming to bring you some food. And I said, well, I told you that, you know, I'm almost down here. So if you want to catch me, make sure that you have to leave the house early so you could catch me. But I was so eager to leave because I was done already. And she said, no, just stay right there. No, stop murmuring, you know. I was kind of, you know, I mean, I've been waiting to pick up this load, and I said, well, okay. So she brought me some food because I told her that I was out of food already and, you know, sleeping in the truck only, you know. So she came, and my brother was done, and then he called me that, where are you? I said, I'm still here in Walmart. No, I'm done already. So he just passed me by, and then around about maybe 5 miles away from Willows, he saw this sign, accident, you know. He saw the big semi-truck involving an accident. The little car was falling to the bridge. And my brother was just passing by, and there was the cop was not arriving yet. And I said, well, I'm still here eating my breakfast, you know. So I will see it when I pass by. And then, after eating my breakfast, we left. That was like maybe 9:30. I saw the sign right there. Accident ahead, and then they closed the freeway. They closed the freeway. So we went on the side of the freeway, and I was driving. Then we passed, and we saw the accident, because the freeway was just behind it. And then I saw that 1 mile of this vehicle stuck, not even moving. And then my wife was saying, see, if you do not wait for me, you could be one vehicle staying right there. I said, oh, praise the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I'm just thankful. I mean, that was Friday. And the Lord was really guiding, you know, I was able to wait for my wife because the Lord has something, you know. And he was guiding me because that was Friday. And I want to come home before sundown. And I was so thankful that day that the Lord really was guiding me that day. Now, there's another thing that I experienced in my job that I'm really thankful to the Lord. You know, I've been reading the Desire of Ages. And I didn't know that the company that owns this company, the name of the company is TriStar. I did not know the meaning of it. Until somebody told me that TriStar means three angels. Awesome. The owner is a Seventh-day Adventist. But the workers, the dispatchers, you know, they're not Adventists. And so I was reading the Desire of Ages, and then this dispatcher asked me, what kind of book are you reading? I said, oh, this book is really good, you know. Desire of Ages talks about, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, his life. It's just like a commentary. Oh. I said, I have a lot of this. I said, would you like one? I said, yeah. So I gave him one book. And then this Friday, last week, I asked him about the book. I said, you know, I just started reading. And it's very interesting. Yeah. So, oh, praise the Lord. He really liked the book. Now, there's one thing that I have experienced, and I'm really thankful to the Lord. There was one time that my truck has been smoking white, you know. And they said that I couldn't drive it. Otherwise, if I drive it, the cop will give me a ticket. So I was really discouraged, and I said, well, this is the only vehicle that I drive, and it's helping my family to support. And I couldn't work. So I prayed, Lord, I mean, you will show me a mechanic that could understand, you know, and that will not take advantage, because some mechanic, they take advantage. There was a guy who told me that there is an Oriental guy, a Chinese guy, in Lathrop, close to Stockton. So I called him, and he said, bring your truck here. And this guy was known by the drivers that he takes advantage of the drivers. He charges too much, you know. So while he was looking at the truck, he checked everything. He said, you know, one of the injector is bad, needs to be replaced. So buy the injector, I will replace it. Anyway, while he was doing it, we started sharing about the Bible. He started first. He's very, you know, very, he talked. And I was just quiet. I was just listening. Then he asked me, you know, I mean, do you go to church? I said, yeah. I said, Romans 16:5, you know. So what is that? The church that is in the house. Oh. And then he said, oh, you're like my great, great grandparents. So why? What happened? You know, in China, you know, it's communist. And they have to hide. So they study the Bible in the house. Oh. So he remembered his great grandparents. I said, yeah. And then he asked me, so who's leading the Bible study? Well, we all study the Bible. We discuss together, you know. Oh. So we started sharing and sharing. And he told me his experience. He said, you know, I helped other drivers here. He said, they come here and they have problems, so I fix them, and they promise that they will pay me next week, and they never come back. So I lost like almost like $10,000, you know. I think he was saying more than that. I couldn't remember, but he said that he lost a lot of money for the drivers never come back. But the Lord has been so good to him. He said, but the Lord is good because I helped them, and the Lord bring a lot of customers. And I helped them, I fixed them. And now I was able to pay my house, pay all my bills, and still the customer is still coming. And then we started sharing the Bible. Started sharing about the Sabbath, you know. And he asked me about them, and what day do you go to church? And, well, I go to church the Sabbath, the Saturday. So why is that? It's supposed to be Sunday. Well, the Bible doesn't say Sunday. The Bible tells us that Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the Sabbath. That was the day Christ was resurrected. You know, that's why the majority keep the Easter Sunday. the resurrection day. That was the first day of the week. So the Sabbath is the seventh day. It was a Saturday. He said, oh, I think I have to tell my pastor. He goes to church too. So he said, no, you don't have to ask the pastor. Just read it yourself, Bill. His name is Bill. So we keep talking and talking. And he said that he's supposed to finish it in like 2 hours. But we end up finishing it like 8 o'clock in the evening. Because we keep talking and talking. But anyway, I was just patient, you know. And when it's done, finally done, he said, start the vehicle, start the truck. And there was still smoke right there. And he said, that's the residue, you know. Don't worry about it. That's the leftover right there. Back up. And then I didn't see the smoke anymore. It was fixed. And then I was backing up. He come to me while I was driving. He said, go. I said, Bill, I have not even paid you yet. No, you don't have to pay me. You are my brother. Pray for me. He said, thank you. I said, that day I cannot remember. I said, Lord, you've been so good to me. I was really thankful. Because I already spent money and the Lord knows my situation. So I cannot forget this experience that the Lord was really helping me and guiding me. It's been so good to me and my family too. So there's so many things that I can praise Him for the blessing that He gave me.
Thank you, Jonathan. And a big hearty amen to that. There's so many things that the Lord does for each one of us every day that a lot of them just pass by as commonplace. But yet, each one we should be grateful to the Lord for what He's done, because each one is a blessing. Each one shows His love for us in our walk with Him. Is there another testimony? Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name's Eric. This is my first time here. And I have barely getting started to learn about the Adventist and Seventh Day and the Sabbath. And I, you know, mainly like to give thanks to Jonathan and Julie because they've been teaching me, you know, about the Sabbath and all of this new stuff that I've never heard about before. And I, you know, I'm really interested in it and I'd like to learn more. So I give the Lord thanks, you know, for them inviting me into their home and showing me, you know, the Word and stuff. And I also like to give thanks for my health and just having a place to stay. That's pretty much it. And thank you.
Praise the Lord. You know, our health is something that we can just take for granted. We wake up in the morning and we feel just like we did the day before and we continue on and the next day the same. But it is a gift of God to not have aches and pains, to not wake up with a sore throat or a headache or something like that. It is a gift of God. You know, we do have a part to play in that blessing. So keeping the 8 laws of health keeps our system and our spiritual as well as mental health in the best possible condition, and God rewards our efforts. But it is still a blessing to wake up with health and vitality. And I guess the older you get, the more you appreciate it. And the younger you are, sometimes it just passes by without much notice. But it is still a blessing. Any other? Yes. If I can come to where you are.
I want to share 107, verse 1 and 2. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We just had, I think it's been a while, we had a problem in our group in Rancho Tehama. So we've been praying, Lord, help us what to do. And some of our brothers here also know the situation, and we told them to pray for them, pray for us. But last December 24th, my husband's family, they had a reunion where I live in Ranchotehama. So it's like one sister came from Texas, one sister came from Oklahoma, and they stayed in Israel's house. But since we don't really have a good relationship, that was on December 24th. That was Friday. And so my sister-in-law called us if we can stay with them on that dinner on Friday night. No, we have fellowship because it's going to be Sabbath. So I said, okay, talk to Jonathan. And Jonathan said, oh, you know, we have a lot of things to do. It's preparation day. And, but Jonathan told him the story, what was going on, you know. But anyway, that was sundown on December 24th. We started, you know, having worship. And then one sister came. So we're just like singing and, you know, reading. And then like, I think that was like past 7 o'clock. Then all the family came. Everybody came. And then his brother started, you know, leading the song. You know, everybody's playing the instrument. We had fun, you know, praising the Lord. And then he requested everyone, like, you know, make a circle in the living room. So I don't remember how many are we. I think maybe like 20-something around the living room. Everybody stood up, and then the brother, like, started, like, giving testimony. He said, like, if we can give, like, testimony and be thankful to the Lord what happened, and if we have any grudges, let's be open and, you know, ask for forgiveness. So one started, and then one started after the testimony, and then she cried, and one after another, and everybody cried and hugged each other, and they were just like, oh, I'm so sorry what I have done, you know, the whole year, and... But it was so nice, you know. There was peace in our heart, and that was Christmas. It's like, Lord, thank you so much, you know. And then on Saturday, we had the Sabbath meeting in Israel's house, and that was my testimony for everybody. I was telling everybody that, you know, I was so thankful. We've been praying for this problem, and it was, you know, the Lord work. The Lord answer our prayer. Amen. Everybody humbled themselves and asked forgiveness. It was really a good Christmas. Amen. The Lord is so good. And I just thankful, I was so thankful for all the friends, because I told my friends whenever they call me and I said, oh, pray for us, you know, we have some kind of problem, and everybody helped. And then after that, then they all asked what happened. They said, oh, the Lord, you know, the Lord answered the prayer, you know. It's all settled now. We have peace in our mind, and love, God is love, and everything. It was really a good, you know, feeling when you have a good relationship with, you know, with everyone. Amen.
Thank you, sister. Anyone else with a testimony? Yes.
I hope you understand my poor English. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I have been in this Seventh-day Adventist since I was a child, like that girl over there. This is him that you sing. In Spanish, ya na mi camino, ya na mi camino, y me hace obedecer. This thing I start to learn when I was like that. So, brother and sister, the year a Christian man can be 50 years, 60 years, 40 years, the year doesn't count in the Christian man, in the real Christian man, the years doesn't count. What counts is the day that you live. How do you live in today and tomorrow? So a lot of people, I have been here in the Christian for 60 years. They feel proud because that doesn't count. But anyway, thanks to the So I thank the Lord. Like I told you, I have been in a lot of churches, Seventh-day Adventist, New York, New Jersey, for a lot of years. So, but that we know all the Seventh-day Adventist front. See this humble church over here? That's the majority. This is one. A humble church. One or two or three or four. See me, Josefina, my wife, Jeffrey, we have a real church, a home church, in our home. So we really happy. We're really happy. I hope you, I know maybe you have, see like the Boncayos, they have the same thing too. Brother Cain, Brother Settler. We always remember them because they are our leader, Jim, which is right here. So we know all these people. We are glad. So I'm glad to be in a humble church. So I don't want to talk too much because I don't want to mix up too much thing. But I think God bless all the people over here. And me and my wife are the leaders of the church over here, like Jim and Brother Cain, etc. So thank you very much.
Brother Jonathan made a statement last night, to God be the glory. And I just want to reiterate that. To God be the glory for this weekend, for this meeting. I had a rather stressful week, and I just kept praying, Lord, please get me through this week. And he certainly did get me through to the greatest blessing that I've had for a long time. I want to say thank you to each one of you for being here, and God bless each and every one of you.
We're sure glad you could be here, sister, as well as all the other brothers and sisters here, too.
Jesse. Bente. Bente ora. My husband told me, please, don't talk too much. I understand. But the reason I'm here, maybe half in Spanish or half in English, is because after I be Seventh-day Adventist for all my life, when I was 13 years old, I start to be in the Seventh-day Adventist. When I came to this country, all the time is in the front for everything, to take care of the young people, the children, the adult people, always in the front of the church. Now, well, Josefina, este jovencito que está aquí, él es el hijo de Josefina. Josefina no se atreve a hablar. Dilo. Dilo. Sin favor, con favor. Okay. Okay, Josefina no se atreve a hablar.
My mom doesn't want to talk.
Josefina has two children.
Josefina has two children.
Dos más que no podemos contar en estos momentos.
She has two other children that are not here with us tonight.
Especially Jeffrey and the other. See, what happened is, Josefina tiene dos muchachos. Uno es Jeffrey, el otro es Tito, el cabezón. Okay.
Josefina has two sons. One of them is named is Jeffrey, and the other one's name is Jed.
Well, what happened one day,
Josefina and me, I'm the manager of some apartment. And Josefina, he go to work to take care a young fellow. He's a handicapped fellow. Josefina, he passed to my door. I say, oh, I know this lady. But what happened, Josefina have a paranda sister, muchas hermanas.
She has a daughter that likes to go out and party.
Yes. What happened is, one day Josefina saw me and they told, I know you. I know Josefina Paul for many years. She started looking a real church to love Jesus. But she don't feel so happy in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Now, I walk almost the same like her. I stay in the church. I entertain the member of the church every Saturday. I do almost everything in the church, but I don't have Jesus inside my heart. Now I feel like I love my time to be in the Seventh-day Adventist for almost 35 years, and I feel empty my heart, empty. And one day, I received some book from Sessler, from Kane. I start to give this book to the people. One day I give it to Josefina. I give it to his sister, and the sister, the Josefina's sister, she don't like this message I have. But what happened, Josefina, she start to read the book. I say, so beautiful, this book. I start reading, and one day I go to the Multitude Mixed Church in Loma Linda. When I be there, the member of this, the Multitude Mixed member, they start watching me very close. I say, Now I have enemy in the Seventh-day Adventist. I have enemy in the Multitude Mixed because I start to organize my vida en las cosas de Dios.
I started organizing and coming closer to Christ by studying present truth.
The first enemy I have, my children. The first enemy was my children. After that, the Seventh-day Adventist church, they're looking for me. They want to catch me. I said, I want to take this lady. I don't want to be this lady. Go away from our church. Because she's, when she presents the program in the church, a lot of people, they come to the church. I don't want to miss her. I don't want to let her to go. I say, goodbye. When I go to the Multitude Mix, I find this beautiful message. I told them, the Multitude Mix, I don't want to be here no more. Because I want to bring here Cain. I want to bring here Cecil. And you let me know. This is the reason I want to go away from the Multitude Mix. I want a church who belong in Jesus. He teach about the present truth. But you don't let me to present this. I say, okay, I start giving the book. One day a guy say, here is Mrs. Mato, Sister Mato. Here is all the book you give it to me. He said, thank you. I want to make more missionary work, not with you people, because you don't want to accept Jesus Christ. This is, they want to tell me, I said, this lady, I want to tell lady to go to be back to the church, because I want to tell her what she's doing is wrong. She don't is in the right church. Now she don't want to be with us no more. I said, yes, what happened? Because you don't want the present truth. The reason I came to the Multitude Mix is because I want to know if you can. I said, Jesus, really, really, Jesus. I said, no, this door is closed for you. Thank you. Goodbye. I passed too much problem in my life. But thank you, God, I continue work. I talked to Elizabeth. I talked to Cain. And I start to make a home church in my place. Satan is still bothering me. My son, now he's in the college, Levi, he go to different places, to different church. Now he bring me a paper. a brochure from his church. And they said, for the Christian church, they said, this is, I believe. You said, my son, you have a law. You have God with no law. They don't believe in the God in the Ten Commandments. So Dios es, usted tiene un Dios desordenado.
You have a God of disorder.
Because the God they don't have, you don't have no law. I say, okay, but he tried to help us, my husband and me, I'm very different each other. But I love him, he loves me. Both my son and say, sometimes I try to speak with my husband, it's a little argument. My son is watching me too close. I say, you know, I want to call Cain, because, please, what happened? My husband has a problem in his ear. Sometimes I have to call him very loud because he don't hear me. And he said, oh, you have to fight, you have to fight. Don't fight, don't fight, don't fight. I fight, I talk to my husband. This is the way I talk. Yes. Now, my son, he's saying, you talk too much. You want to see, maybe you can understand me? Huh? I don't speak very good English. I may speak very good Spanish, but not English. Now, I stand in my place. My house, thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, my son, he say, you speak too much about Helen, why? Too much to Helen, why? He says, she's a good prophet. I have to miss her because in all the time, Jesus had his prophet. Now you don't believe in the prophet. No, no, but you see, mommy, this house is too small. I have to, I live in the teeny weeny house. It's like a Barbie house. And I say, I can't stay in the room because I hear you talking about it. I can't stay. I say, Josefina, maybe I want to go to your place. Maybe I have to home church over there because it's not allowed here. He pay rent over there. He told me, I pay rent. I need a rest on Saturday. Well, I go to Josefina. Josefina, what happened to your place? Come, 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 come. Vente, vente. Vente. Siéntate valiente. De aquí, 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 aquí. Aquí. What happened?
Bueno, no.
Ahora, ahora. Bueno, le voy a hablar por ella. I want to talk for her. What happened is Josefina has a two beautiful daughter. They grow up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. After they grow up, this girl, they don't believe in Helen White. They don't believe. And you know, when I'm talking, sometimes in the group, I'm talking about the book, about, but the girl, he don't want to hear nothing about that. I don't have no church. I don't have no place to be like a comfortable to study the Word of God. Now, this is why this family, Catalina, this is a big family today. It's a big family. And they have said, okay, you can come all to our place. And Jeffrey and Josefina is on me more than they go to make a study every Saturday, almost for 1 year. And you can see they have many, many children. Well, I say, God, help us to keep our faith. But I feel so happy. I thank Jesus. My daughter, they now, one is very quiet. When I talk to her, she say, she don't say me nothing. Before, she's arguing too much. Now, they study a little and little. And they say, they don't say nothing. They don't say nothing to me. See? Now he's in silence more than before. Well, this is Jesus has enemy to his own people. Nothing good. I waited for nothing good in this world for us. They have enemy, our family first, the member of the church, until today, they want to see me die. They don't want, because before, Jeffrey, para levantar fondos, ¿cómo se dice? Levantar fondos. Ajá. En la iglesia. ¿Ah? Sí. a levantar fondos en la iglesia para construir iglesia. And they want me in the front. And every Saturday, I have to make business. When I visit the Adventist, I have to say people go to play, go to do, make some cookies to sell on Saturday to have more fun for building another church. Every Saturday. I feel this is not God's plan. And what happened is they want me to be there. And they feel mad on today. They're watching me very close. They're watching Josefina. The other day, you find somebody. What he told you? The guy, the pastor. He told Josefina, why are you sending your tithe?
That's what they're worried about.
Yeah.
That's what they're worried about. They can't keep you in the church. They want the money to come with you coming out.
Pastor, well, thank you, God, for that. I speak very good Spanish, no English. But thank you, you can be patient with me, and you can understand all I say. But I feel so happy. Jesus lives in my heart. Jesus, I feel so happy. Like never in my life, as soon the day 7 years ago, I be a Christian looking for Jesus. To study the Bible, to study all this book, and more believe in our prophet.
Oh, praise the Lord, sister. I know Luther had the same problem with the Catholic Church. In fact, he came out with a sermon and said, Rome doesn't care what is truth or what is not truth, but Rome does care what is money and what is not money. And when a church gives up the truth, they start turning to external forms and social activities to keep people coming to the church so that they can retain their money. And when you see a church that's more interested in funds, more interested in numbers of attendees, more interested in social parties and bazaars and so on, they've given up the truth. It's the truth that keeps the people together. It's the truth that attracts one to want to learn more. And so that's just another indication of where apostasy has set in versus where the truth is still residing. A lot of people don't know the very basics of what is a church and what is not a church according to the scriptures. It is the truth that makes a church. It is not the church that makes the truth. Roman Catholicism teaches that it is the church that makes the truth. So if you leave the church, you've left the truth and are lost. But the Bible truth is that it is the truth that makes the church. And in sticking with the truth, you will always be part of the church. Because Christ is the truth. And where Christ is, that's where his church is. Yes. Oh, okay.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. Yeah, I want to share this with everybody. When I was a kid, I grew up in a lot of different churches. And, I drew a little bit close to God during that time. But over the years, I kind of drifted away. And, a lot of the times when I was not as close to God as I should have been, I did try a lot of other things, such as partying, drinking, and all kind of other stuff that I know I shouldn't be doing. But over the course of those years, it's like God has kept me from enjoying or doing those things. Because, like, for example, beer didn't taste good to me. Alcohol, period, just didn't appeal to me. You know, smoking and all that stuff. And I'm just really thankful that, when I came back to God, he was there waiting for me. And he just kept me from doing a lot of things. You know, we have a lot to be thankful when God delivers us from something or, you know, a lot of different things. But, you know, I am very, very thankful that God has kept me from getting into those things in the first place. So, you know, that's my testimony that, you know, God has just kept me. And, you know, you might be in the same situation where you don't see where God has delivered you from many things, but it's probably because he kept you from getting into many bad things like that. So, I mean, you know, just believe in God. God is a good God, and, you know, I praise God for that. Amen.
Ogman. Well, thank you, brother. That was a wonderful testimony. It's amazing how God works in our lives, and the things which we think would be pleasurable, we find out are just empty. It's just a shell without any substance. And when we find Christ and his love fills our heart, that is indeed full and rich and abundant. Yes, sister.
I feel for Sister Josefina. I know how you feel. Sometimes you rub noses with the world and you wonder, well, what do I know? What could I say to this person? And I go to college and I listen to the humanistic things the college tries to throw on you. And I rub noses with my daughter's friends. And I had three of them want to come. Couldn't afford to put them up over here, but they wanted to come. One was a son of hippies from Haight-Ashbury. He's a vegan. The other one's trying to give up meat, and the girl, she just played wild. I don't know if we could control her. But, you know, God loves us. He's given us his Bible. He's given us his handiwork. And the little bit you know, maybe you're one of the few people that could say the right thing to someone. And sometimes you have to pray for the courage to say it. That you could say the right thing. I had the blessing to be able to talk to one of my cousins. I don't know about you. You sound like you've got Christians all the way back, but my family wasn't like that. All I knew was I knew I had one aunt. She was Armenian, and she was a Christian. And I thought, gee, that's all I have in my family. And then I found out I've got this other cousins. They're Christians. A lot of them are Mormon, but Christians. I spent time with her this summer, and I thought, what can I bring to her life? She is really living up to the light she knows. And I studied, and I'm not good about remembering things. And, you know, I only had to call Sister Jean and ask her for one text. And I sat down, and I'm not good on directions either. I sent my cousin on a wild goose chase. Finally, 3 hours later, she shows up at the motel. And I sat down, and I had carefully written down a lot of scriptures. And I thought maybe she was going to present tongues to me. And the Lord kept me so busy. I was so thankful to be with her. I hadn't seen her for 38 years. And you know, I was able to present her. I said, the Lord loves you. If you love him, keep the Sabbath. And it said it's as simple as that, if you love him. And I presented her some other things. I gave her something to think about. She didn't refuse any of it. It was just like all new to her. Next time you falter in your thoughts, like, what can I tell these people? They seem so much better off than I am. Maybe you should share the knowledge you have and give them that one word to point them toward Christ. Christ has no feet but ours and no hands and no voice except ours.
Amen. It's to be a seed sower and let the Spirit water the seed that's planted and let it sprout at the proper time. Any other testimonies? I know in my own life, the Lord has been extremely merciful. There was a couple times in my past that I should have died in a fiery wreck, and I didn't. And I didn't understand why. I just figured, oh, well, you know, I chose the right vehicle to take. I didn't choose the... I had a choice between taking a big, large Dodge maxi wagon van. It's like a Sherman tank. And for a teenager, it's not something appealing to want to drive around. I mean, it... Or I could have taken a Ford Pinto that's nice and speedy and sleek. And for some reason, I chose the van. This big, ugly, blue van. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I would have chose the Pinto. But I chose the van. And on the way home, as I was exiting the freeway, just down here it was 707 back then, but it's Long Beach Freeway. We call it 7 now. This drunk driver was traveling 70 miles an hour in a station wagon, and I was going about 35 to exit the ramp, and he struck me in the back of the vehicle. And I went from 35 to about 45 in just a split second and was able to stop. His vehicle was totaled. There was just... a little bit of damage to the back of the Dodge maxi wagon. But if I would have been in the Pinto, it was a fire trap because the gas tank was placed in such a way that any tremendous hit in the back of the Pinto, it ruptures the gas tank, it goes right through the back seat and lights up the whole inside of the car. And we had not gotten the fire protection wall that they... forced Ford to put into the Pinos. So I wouldn't be here today. And so God, you know, even though I was far from him at the time, God had a care for my life. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea that God would have me up front speaking before people, writing literature. That was the farthest thing from my mind. People who knew me growing up in high school, they can't believe that I'm a minister in the work. That was the farthest thing from their minds as well when they looked at me. But God has a plan for each one of us. We may not know what it is, but as we follow the light that he comes, brings across our pathway, and are faithful to that little bit of light, no matter how small or big it is, then he says, I can trust you with greater light. And if you're faithful in that, I can trust you with greater light. So each one of us, no matter how young or old, has a plan in God's work. And if we're just faithful in what he reveals to us, then he'll reveal more things to us. And we in turn can share it with others. And they in turn can grow and share with others as well. Any other testimonies? Yes.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I am Elaine, and I am just thankful to God that I could cry. You know, I believe in this miracle of this. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. It shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Before I was so worldly, and I worked so hard just to earn more money for the children. And then, but I also wanted to seek the Lord, and I wanted to seek for the truth. I was a Catholic, and I keep on reading the Bible from cover to cover in a Visayan way, but yet I don't understand because I am a Filipino. I have read over and over again about the Ten Commandments, but they did not understand about remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So, one time, we had a business because I am in insurance. I was employed in insurance. And, you know, insurance men, they earn more in commissions, you know that? And easy money, easy come, easy go. So, one time, when I prayed, I still want more money. And then there was a friend of mine was a businessman. She said, oh, why don't we have this pyramiding? You know a pyramiding? It's the multi-level like that. And then we had that. That could not be closed. That is a big scam. And then, yet, we had that business. We were six of them. We were six in all. And one from the BIR, that's the, what is that BIR in here? Bureau. No. It's the tax, IRS here, but BIR there. An employee of the BIR, one a teacher, one a businessman, one in the hospital. We were six. We were all female, the wives. And her husband said, why are you doing that? You cannot close that. And some are accountants because from the BIR. And then, oh, we could because we wanted to help. Because some are doing this business and they will come to my office. And they said, Manang Ilin, how could we close this that we will receive our money back? But, oh, we will do that. We will give your money back and more. And but then the other businesses were already run, you know, from the banks. They were already run over by the people because they cannot return the money back. And we were almost in number one. We will be millionaire already in the Philippines. And they said, oh, no, do not give the money. Do not use the money because you cannot return the money of the other people. So we will return now, and now we will start returning it. And some people came to the house. Oh, we will have your security. They apply for security. Why are you applying for security? Our security is God, I told them. And then said, oh, no. You have, because you have plenty of money. Imagine we will deposit the money by thousand, and then we deposit it on every bank. So it will not be, you know, I cannot express it very well. And then all of a sudden, we boom, and then because we stopped, even my retirement and the insurance company, I used it to return to the people because we were hiring people to type the receipts that we will give to the people so that from the one, it will be, from the five, it will become to number one. So they have to type, and we were hiring there for 90 pesos a day. And we give them the food all free, from breakfast, lunch, and dinner free, and snacks free. And we bought some machines. We spent a lot. So when we closed our business, we were at a loss. And I resigned from my company because I had my early retirement, because I thought we will be earning more. But God did not do that. Because I was reading the Bible, I don't know his way. But when I have no more work and my children are in college. So what will I do now? What will I do now? So I said, why can't you, our district manager said, why just you apply for an agent? Instead of applying, instead of an employee, I became an insurance agent. In insurance agent, we still have more money. But I'm not at peace. So where will I go? Then when I tried to, I like to be an employee. I came back to the Insular Life office in Makati, Manila. Then I started to, sir, I will just come back to work. Very good, I said. But you have to start from the lower salary. But that is not enough for my children. My children are now in college. So you have to start. You have to start from the beginning because you have already taken your retirement. So then I go, oh, what will I do now? So when I went down, I saw the Canadian embassy. At first, because I wanted to seek the truth, I wanted to go the plain truth. You know the organization, that's religion, the plain truth. I was reading the Plain Truth magazine, and I liked the truth in there because I was seeking truth. And then, yeah, I'm strong. And I wanted to go to that place in Canada or here. I have already my visa and my passport. So my direction is to go to Canada for the plain truth because I wanted to seek the truth. But then we went to Canada for a while, and then we came here.
And when we arrived here, I was with my friends that are Catholics. California was in drought that time. And then we keep on, we have the Virgin Mary going around every house. And then we pray from one house to another house. We have a caravan every Friday night. So, but then I said, it's not my faith, because you remember Pastor John Osborne? My brother-in-law in Florida told to me when we arrived, we stayed in their house, nang ilan, because they were Adventist. They are Adventist. And he said, if you have no job, so just look at this television program. And there I found it. And in the last of the program, it says, if you have some question, please call toll-free 1-800-HIS-LOVE. Then I called 1-800-HIS-LOVE. And 1991, and she has her television program there. He has. And then I called, and then I studied about the Bible, how to study the Bible. And then I studied through communication. And then I felt so convicted. And what will I do? When we were in Florida, my friend invited us here in California, and he said, oh, I will give you work here. Oh, that's good. And then I came here. And I heard, because we were neighbor with Julie in the Philippines, and then her sister knew my number here in Orange County, and she said, oh, I don't like the lady that I'm taking care of. I cried because, some ladies are so, so mean, and some are good. And then she cried. You know what, Ging? If I am in trouble, and if I'm alone, I am lonely because my children are not there. My friend is the Bible. I have my Bisayan Bible in our dialect. That is, I will pray. My feeling now is like a Seventh-day Adventist. But I was working as a babysitter here in Anaheim before. And then I said, oh, you feel like a Seventh Adventist? I have my brother-in-law who is a Seventh Adventist. Who is it? Jonathan. Jonathan. That was the first time I saw. And then when they visited us and we went to their place, so it is Jonathan. It's the messenger that is an angel, the third angel's messengers. They said the angels are not really the one with wings, but the people who send you the message, those were the angels. So Jonathan and Julie were my angels, and they gave me a study. And we were working that time in the Calico Motel there here in Anaheim, and then they said, oh, you study the Bible. That's nice. And then, where will we study? I wanted to go to church. And then, I don't remember. When you still remember me, a brother, Zisler, because when I came in on the big church, I was baptized in the Filipino Seventh Adventist there. Then, they came out from the big church. So, I came out with them, and then I wanted to be baptized again with the home church. But then, I don't know why, I had still my earrings before, and I still have my lipstick. So, I don't know why, but I already brought my dress for I might be baptized, but Jonathan told me, you will be the one to baptize the time. But I was not baptized, I don't know. Why? But then that's the story. And I still keep on saying, because I am the only one who is convicted, not my family. So I prayed and prayed over again, seek, and ask God. And then, you know what? I thank the Lord. My husband is now in the truth and in the home church. Just lately, the last year, this is a testimony, right? And I call my husband, bye. If you will only be convicted, I am pretty sure, and I feel it in my heart, that our children will follow. Now, my daughter, the eldest daughter in Canada, is now studying, and it's in the big church in Canada. And I told her, you have to go to the home church. You read the books that I gave you.
the great controversy, the Christ object lesson, and then he is reading now. And she wanted, where will we? There is no home church here in Canada. Yes, in Alberta. And they said, oh, I will ask Libs. That's why I asked Mrs. Sisler and Jenny there to have the website so my daughter can visit your website and maybe she could learn more because she said she will be baptized by the pastor this month and I hope, I hope you will hear because if you will visit the website, so you will hear my voice and my testimony. I love you. I love God. And thank you, the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. And to us, the whole brethren. Thank you for listening.
We shared to the husband. We given him Bible study and spirit prophecy. And he's been a smoker for how long?
Chain smoker from teenager until last year.
Until last year. And now he quit smoking. He quit smoking. Yeah, praise God. And he's starting to be a vegetarian.
Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful what Christ can do for an individual that desires to follow him or to break the habit of smoking or drinking or whatever other habit that they have that's destructive. People call it willpower, but we can do nothing without Christ. As Christ brings his power and grace to us, and we accept it and we use it to overcome, that is where the victory is obtained. It's not found within us. That's right. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Christ won't do it for us, and we can't do it by ourselves. But our efforts united with divine strength and grace will come off victorious. Oh. Okay. All right. Maybe one more testimony. One more testimony. Well, maybe I'm that last testimony. I am just extremely grateful to the Lord for blessing me with such a wonderful family. I mean, I look at different families around the world and different situations taking place, and I'm just so grateful that the Lord has blessed me with the family that he has. And oh, praise the Lord.
This one Muslim brother who became a chef, and he turned down because of he couldn't get the Sabbath off, and now he had a job in Iraq, and he was supposed to go on the Sabbath, but he didn't know. You know, he was a new. And Brother Fatty told him, no, you're not supposed to travel on the Sabbath. And he tore the ticket up, and he didn't go. And so the Lord is watching over him. And there are another Muslim brother who has a girlfriend, and he told the girlfriend that if you are going to go with me, you have to accept the message. And she said, I would accept the message after we get married. And the brethren, the Muslim brother said, no, you have to accept the message
before we get married. And so these men are very strong, and they are standing up for Jesus. So I'm so thankful that here, you know, in the Muslim country, who they're really staunch in their belief, and yet they're accepting Christ. I am so grateful for the work they're doing there.
Yeah, and over in the Muslim countries, when you accept Christ, you're an immediate outcast.
And not only in Egypt, if the Muslim becomes Christian,
right?
They shoot him. And also, the person that bring him to Christianity.
Right, yeah.
But they take him.
Maybe in different cultures and stuff they do that. I heard that if a daughter turns to Christianity, that the father claims the right to kill her so that she can still be able to go to heaven under the Muslim faith. Yeah. Well, when you look at the Quran, half of the book teaches principles that are quite Christian in origin. The other half of the book teaches principles that are quite terroristic in, you know, you can kill those who are infidels unless they convert to Muslim faith. You can raid territories, etc. And yet they claim that the whole Quran is inspired. Yeah. But, you know, we have, all of us have a debt of gratitude that we owe to our Father and to our Savior, and also to the Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, making the truth effectual, the plan of salvation would be for naught. So each one of the Godhead are to be praised and thanked for their part in making our salvation possible. Because without all three of them using their powers together, united, our salvation would not be possible. But I do want to thank each one of you for coming, and those on the Internet for listening in and giving your comments and your testimonies. I want to thank Sister Alice again for making this room possible. Brother Jim for getting everything arranged and giving his presentation. Brother Gary and Jeffrey for giving their presentations. Brother Jonathan for giving the music, and Sister Boncayo for playing the organ there, the electronic piano. Sister Jenny for giving her stories. And one of these days we'll get them all recorded and maybe put on a CD. And but most of all, I want to thank the Lord for being here among us and for blessing us on this wonderful Sabbath that we've had. It has indeed been an edifying influence for me, one that I needed. And I know it's been an edifying influence for you all. If we could please kneel for closing prayer. Or actually, we have a closing song, and then we have closing prayer. So, Brother Jonathan, it's page 80 in your songbook.
Shall we all stand singing this hymn?
Thank you. Our most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together, both those here and those on the internet. We pray, Lord, that you will help us each to be ready for Christ's soon return. We don't want to see any that are here or listening in to be lost. We have a special request here this evening for Julie's mom. We've taken her to the hospital, and we pray for your healing hand upon her. We pray, Lord, that your will be done and not ours. But we also know, Lord, that if we ask, you will hear and you will answer. And so we're asking, not because if there's any good in us, but because of your great mercies. We believe and thank you for answering our prayer even before we see the answer. We pray, Lord, that you will send Jesus back to this earth soon so there will be no more sin, sickness, pain, or death. And we can live eternally with him and see Jesus face to face. And we pray this in his name, who made it all possible. Amen.